Hey guys, today I'm in the hot seat. I'm being interviewed by the amazing host of Creatives and Cocktails, Miss Janaea Rochelle. And we're going to be talking about my life as a celebrity wardrobe stylist and my transition into becoming a meditation coach. And in the honor of mental health awareness, we're just going to be talking about a lot of different issues that I dealt with personally that started me on this journey. So I hope you guys enjoy.
Need to have an outlet.
Yeah. So that's why I created the podcast, A Pursuit to Happiness, because I really, really wanted to tap into the creatives that, you know, me as a creative and all the creatives that I work with, you know, we're struggling mentally. And, you know, a lot of times it just gets swept under the rug because you're in the mess of all business. And then, like, you know, you don't take time for yourself because you're so busy serving other people and being creative and trying to stay within your creative space. So I felt like, okay, all of my friends, we would talk to each other and be each other's therapists. And I'm like, okay, like I have photographer friends and stylist friends and all of like makeup artist friends. And like, we're all spiraling down and dealing with all these pressures of life, pressures of industry, pressures of being.
And add what's going on right now.
That's right. That's even worse. So it was just like, that's even worse. So it's just like, you know, it takes a toll on you when, especially as a creative, you know, we need our creative outlet. So to be locked down and not be able to create and do things and, you know, we need to do things. So to to not be able to do that, it's telling on your.
And you know what's funny? Mm-hmm. I was speaking to someone the other day and I literally think creatives are like superheroes. I just do. Mm-hmm. Because you have to think, if there were no such thing as creatives, this world that we live in, it's a really a black and white.
It'd be
world,
very
right?
boring.
And without creatives, I mean, even just going shopping and going to the mall and seeing the visuals in the window, that's someone putting, you know, sharing their vision, right?
Right, right.
And it's so important to me because I feel like we have to be so brave and courageous as creatives.
Right.
Because it's almost like, you know, it's like you have to be vulnerable. Like, you know, when you go into a relationship and it's very hard to be vulnerable because you don't know how the person's going to receive you or how they're going to treat you and things of that sort. And that's so much how it's really like that with our craft and with what we share. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're pouring our heart over and over again, not knowing how it's going to be received or how it's going to be treated.
Right.
That's
someone
a
steps
lot.
On it. You can literally have, especially like just from my experience, you know, sometimes you have a client who's just in, you know, not a great mood and they will come on set and just be like turning up their nose, going through the rack just because they have an attitude for the day, like not even giving the clothes a chance. And like, and as a stylist and any stylist that's listening, we work for days and weeks dragging clothes around, shopping, going to designers, begging for stuff, especially if you're not, you know, a established celebrity, you know, I got to use my name because they don't know who you are. You think you are somebody that everyone should know, but no one knows you.
Right.
So like now I got to go beg, borrow, and steal to get you clothes. And you got the audacity to throw your nose up.
It takes a toll
on you. It really does.
You know, I just feel like this was so cool the way we connected.
Yes.
And you know what's so funny? My girlfriend, Angie, that's on here, she actually went with me the day that we met Chris.
Oh, yes, Chris.
She was there. She's one of my, she's part of my, you know, support system. Mm-hmm. And she went with me. And AP, this is the young lady that Chris was telling me about years ago.
Hi. We it's so funny because Chris told me about you. She was like, there's a girl that you need to meet. I told her about you. I was raving to her about you. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And I love Chris. I've known Chris for, I didn't even realize how many years I've known Chris.
Ago, right?
That was years ago.
In this space. And that's why everything definitely happens for a reason.
Divine
and at
timing.
At a point in time.
Yeah.
Divine timing. Just tell everybody a little bit about you.
Okay.
From the celebrity wardrobe stylist aspect, how you got started, how did we get here?
How did
and then
we
we'll
get
go into how this how meditation came into play.
Okay, so how did we get? So I'm gonna need have to have a sip for this because.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I'm not gonna sip too much because I don't want to spill all the tea of the industry. So yeah.
Don't drop no names.
I ain't dropping no names. With too many sips, I might drop a name. So, how did I get started? So I started styling. Oh, I feel like I'm aging myself. About 15 years ago. Like, was it 15 years ago? Well, full time about 15 years ago.
Okay.
I first got the, I'll take it all the way back. Okay, so when I was a little girl, I loved fashion. I loved it. That was me and my mother's thing. Like, we bonded over fashion. We would watch Dynasty together. And
I remember those days.
Oh, we used to watch Dynasty. And I was in love with Alexis Colby. Like, I loved Alexis. Like, she was everything. She was everything for me, like, as far as a fashionista. And so me and my mother, and I was a little girl, me and my mother would watch it every, I don't remember what night it came on, Thursday night, one of those nights, but we would watch it all the time. And I remember my punishment if I didn't do something or something went wrong, my punishment was you can't watch Dynasty. And when I say I would cry outside of the TV room, laying by the door, sneaking and watching and crying like, ah, I can't sleep. And I used to be, how I would get caught is I would fall asleep. Yes, I would fall asleep by the door watching, trying to peek to see what kind of fur that.
Also, it was serious for you at a young age.
It was serious for me. I loved it. So I originally wanted to be a designer. So like I always noticed that as I would walk down the street, I would see people and like, copy and paste and like switch up, oh, maybe they should have did this with that. Like, I would put things in my head. And I used to watch fashion shows, which is strange. Like, I used to watch fashion shows. I don't even know how I found them. So I used to watch fashion shows as a little girl, and I wanted to be a designer. And then just realizing that I'm a Gemini, I got ADD, and creating a dress. I would have so many incomplete projects if I was a designer. So I'm like, okay, what's the best route with this? Like, cause I don't know how to sew. And like, okay, what am I doing? So I remember sitting down watching the movie Belly, and I just loved the clothes and Belly. Like, I was just like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. Like, everything looks so nice and this, that, and the third. And I remember watching at the end, to the end, and it said, wardrobe stylist June Ambrose. And I was like, ding, that's what I want to be.
I love June too.
Like, her and Misa Hilton Brim are the ones. Yes, Misa's so dope. Like, from a little girl, I was looking at them and just saying, that's what I want to do. So that's how I, you know, got into wanting to be a stylist, because I didn't have a name for it, but I knew that's what I wanted to do. So ironically, I used to, when I was working, at AT&T doing customer service. Girl, I had so many jobs. I can't, like, I've done it. So
gotta go.
Yeah. So I had a friend of mine, she brought me on a shoot, and then I just started creating content and just networking with people and just meeting different people. There was one stylist I assisted a couple of times. Her name was Maxine Garcia. Love her to death. Like, she was an assistant of June. So just show how the universe lines you up with people.
So did you ever cross paths with June?
Yes, many times I crossed paths with her.
Yeah.
To the point where I remember one of my friends, I was at Lord & Taylor's pulling clothes, and she said, oh, June, you should meet Shatine. She's like, I know Shatine. And I was like,
don't you love it?
Yeah, I was like, she know me. Like, she know me. Oh God. Like, knowledge, like, she know me. Like, she tried to check it for my work, but like, she knew me. I'm like, yay. Cause I done stalked you a million times because I wanted to work with you. So that's the thing. Like, so I just got into it and I started just doing, like, creating things on my own and just networking with people and stuff like that. So that's how I got into the industry. That's how it started. Mm-hmm. And then,
so what project did you work on where you were like, oh my gosh, I'm really doing this? Like, what was the project where you realized this, you know, this can happen. This can be my life. This is that one big project.
There was so many, but there's a few that stand out because when, like I said, when I was younger, I used to watch fashion shows.
Yeah.
And I was nowhere near being in fashion. I was just like, just a person watching TV. But I always said, I want to do the Victoria's Secret fashion show. Kept saying, I want to work on the Victoria's Secret fashion show. I want to work on the Victoria's Secret fashion show. For years, I said it.
Victoria's Secret. Did you work for Victoria's Secret?
For 10 years, I did backstage production.
I got to know.
Like a diamond, I was there. I was there for that.
That was magical. Yes. Isn't it just me? Mm-hmm. And I don't like to be biased, you know, but the way that girl came down that runway literally put the rest of the models to shame. Or was it just, I love her. You know, that's my girl, you know, she's my fellow Pisces sister. So yes. She can do no wrong.
Yeah.
But that walk and that.
She did kill it.
Just unbelievable.
She did. She definitely killed it. So just like I manifested that in 2008 to like a company that I started working for, they did the backstage production for them. So I was like, oh my God, when I heard, like, as I was new to the company at this time. So when I heard the rumors that, you know, we're doing Victoria's Secret's fashion show, I was like, oh my God, I gotta get this. And I remember I had just met this woman a year prior who put me on to The Law of Attraction, the book. So by Esther and Jerry Hicks. And that book saved my life. It like changed so many things. So when I read that book, it has a part in it where it tells you to write down what you want, write down your book of aspects. So every day I wrote, I want to work Victoria's Secret fashion show. I want to work with Victoria. It at this time was in Miami. And I said, I want to go to Miami. I want to go to Miami. I want to go to Miami. And then I got the email, you're going, you're flying to Miami. And I was like, So like that was like the moment, like, yes, this is working. So like that moment. And then another moment is like when I started doing like not makeovers, but like dressing for your body type with Hearst Digital Media. So like everyone knows Hearst. Like that was like, you know, that's a goal as a stylist to work for Hearst magazine. So when I got there and I was sitting in the building, like, wow, like I'm literally in the Hearst building, and I wrote this in my book. Like, I'm here styling a shoot. Like, I'm here. Like, that was amazing. Crazy for me. And then another one was being at the Chanel show. Working backstage at a Chanel show, and Karl Lagerfeld walked in. Now, when I saw him, I really realized, because I used to always say, how do people pass out at Michael Jackson concerts? Like, why do people faint? Like, I literally got dizzy. I was standing at my rack, and I saw him, and I said, like, me and my mother used to watch him, and my mother always said, because at this time, that's when he was Big Carl, and my mother used to say, that man, he can dress. He used to have his fans and stuff like that. And so I... Yes! So it was just like, okay. So yeah, those were my moments when it was just like,
and you were doing Victoria's Secret for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Like, I did 10 shows, yeah.
You went from, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. And this is why I love these stories. And this mm-hmm. is why I wanted to do this, is because I want to do these stories for two reasons. I feel like it's so good for creatives to be in a space, like an organic space, like mm-hmm. behind the social media, behind the, you know, the glitz and glam.
Right.
And really learning about the person. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the person that made these things happy, that happen, their personalities. You know what I mean? Like just getting to know them one-on-one in a personal space. I feel like that's really, really important.
Right.
But then too, it's for the next person that's in that space where you were, where you were just like maybe at Macy's and trying to get things started.
Right.
And, you know, just seeing that things can come full circle.
Right.
It's going to come with, it's not going to be easy.
Right.
You're going to have the trials and tribulations.
Right.
And that's with anything in life, right?
Yeah. But it
happens, you know,
it does.
It really happens.
The thing about it is, like, you just have to keep pushing. You just got to keep going. Because so I always describe my relationship with fashion as a love-hate relationship. Like, I'm in an abusive relationship.
You said that in your
yes. I'm in an abusive relationship with fashion. This is me in fashion. I do a shoot or I do a project, and then I'm like, I'm done. It's over. I can't take it. These people, I can't stand this. The politics of this industry, it's over. It's over. I'm deleting all type of stuff. Next thing you know, you get an email or a text. You want to do a shoot, and you're like, what day is it? How many looks? Like, it's like that boyfriend of like, you want to come over? Like, that's exactly what it is. Oh, hey, big head. So that's what it is. It's that hey, big head message from fashion. It's like I'm back at dragging these bags around.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's how we are with any within any relationship where we love something, right?
Mm-hmm,
or love someone.
Mm-hmm.
You have those good and bad days, but you know, it comes back full circle, and you just forget about the bad days.
Right, exactly.
So, so cool. So with all this going on, you're in New York, right? Is this all happening in NYC?
Yes, this is all happening in New York. Except for like when I flew out to different places, like I flew to Nike. With Nike, I flew to London, I flew to Puerto Rico, I flew different places, many places that I, you know, was flewed out to for a project or something.
So I have to ask that you bring that up. Has there been any mishap with travel? Like, were you like, oh my gosh, I am not going to make this?
No. I'm like, so when I'm like, when it's a job situation, funny story, my sister's gonna kill me for telling this story.
I'm scared.
But this is how serious. This is how serious it is when it comes to my fashion jobs and catching a flight. So I got booked to do costume design on a movie in Mississippi. And they literally told me like a day or two before, like, you got to go, you know, you're going to be out there for a month and a half. And
what?
Yes, a month and a half. That you know, that's the plus of not having children and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You could just jump up and go. So, you know, like 2 days, pack your stuff, you're out of here. A month and a half, you're going to be gone. And my sister, sorry, girl, gets arrested for driving with expense. With an aspired license.
Oh,
she calls me as they're putting the cuffs on her. She's like, T, they arrested me. You gotta come get me. And my flight is first thing in the morning. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I was driving. I had rented a U-Haul. And I'm like, you know your license is expense suspended. She's like, D, I don't want to. I'm like, I'm not coming to get you.
Like,
I have a flight.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm not coming to get you. I have a flight to catch.
Did you catch that flight?
I caught that flight. You going to handle, those are the consequences of your actions. You going to jail today, girl. You going down today, girl. Because
did you send somebody to save the day for her or what?
No.
She just got arrested.
But you know, wait, when I did my connecting flight, I did call a cab, a friend of hers. It was a cab and said, yeah, she's down at the precinct. Can you go get her something? She's a talker. Like, my sister can talk her way out of any situation. So she talked herself out of jail, but she had to go there and spend the night.
Yeah, to go.
And I wasn't coming to save you. I wasn't coming to, like,
And see, that's what people don't know. Them people, when you took that flight, yes, and showed up,
yes,
those people don't know what happened.
They don't know. They don't know. And it's funny because my friend was visiting me, and after I yelled at my sister and I hung up and I said I wasn't going to come get her, I started bawling like, I'm sorry that I had to leave her, but I'm not going to miss this opportunity. Because I had been writing it in my book, want to do a film. It had manifested. Girl, you manifested yourself getting arrested. That's between you and your driver's license. They got nothing to do with me. Sorry, girl.
Oh my God. Okay, so all this is going on. You've basically done just about everything. Worked with celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff is going on. I take it things were going well as planned. And then did anything change when COVID hit for you?
Yeah, COVID, it changed drastically when COVID hit. But okay, before COVID hit, I was a little bit already like past fashion. I was already taking a step back because I had to start working on myself. Because even though all these amazing, great things were going on, this was my darkest time. Like, and you would think, and people would say, well, you're flying here, you're flying there, you're working with this person, you're working with that person, you're doing this. Like, you know, you would go, like me and my friends, we would go to VIP parties, you know, dancing with celebrities. Like my friend right here, that's all to me perfect. That's my friend Carl. Yes, Carl, me and Carl was at parties with R. Kelly. He was on a stage performing. We were at like the, you know, front row. We were living the life from the outside. With me. I'm smiling, but I was so unhappy. You know, it was like, it was such a dark, dark space. So it's like all the glitz and the glam did not bring me the happiness. Yeah, it didn't matter. So it like, as like time went on, it just started beating down on me. And I had to get further and further into my spiritual journey to be able to, you know, be able to, like, because I'm like, I'm dying here. Like, I don't even want to live anymore. Like, I'm dying, physically, literally dying. Like, this job is not going to kill me. These people aren't going to kill me. So I stepped back.
What brought, can you pinpoint what got you in that place? Like, what triggered that moment, you know, that time?
So, okay. So the thing about it is, like you said, when you're creating, you are putting yourself out there, very vulnerable.
So vulnerable.
And it's like people will pick at your stuff. And if past the picking at your stuff, I realize that people have their own inner turmoil.
Their own demons, their own demons. They're fighting.
And they're reflecting it back at you. And so
it's like their energy becomes your energy.
Yes. So, and I know that I'm an empath, so I pick up your energy. Uh-huh. So when you're stressed, you're depressed, you're this, you're that, I pick it up. So like I'm dealing with you very closely because as a stylist, I have to touch you, have to be in safe places with you.
Yeah.
And just watching these people who are either you're looking at their situation and you're like, this person is super successful and they're working their ass off and they got so many people pulling at them. Mm-hmm. And then you feel bad for them. Like, do they not see what's going on? Like, do they not see that these people that's around them are ripping them to shreds? And so you got that part. Then you got the people who have self-image issues where it doesn't matter what you put them in. It doesn't matter the makeup. It doesn't matter the hair. So they just hate everything that they put on because, you know,
They're not happy.
But, you know, as a person who's creating that look for you, you start to make me feel like, well, am I not good at my job? Am I don't know what I'm doing? Like, what am I like? And it really starts to, I remember one shoot that I did, you know, they were a very big artist and they just had so much going on. And I swear, the way I felt after that shoot, I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm not doing this no more. The stress of it physically made me sick. I ended up in the ER. I was running to go pull shoes. Yes. I'm in the middle of the street, like chest pains. I was at a fashion show and I had to leave the fashion show to go pull clothes for the shoot. And then I was like having these chest, like I could not breathe. I had these chest pains. I felt like I was having a heart attack. And I remember running into someone on the street that I had just came from the fashion show with. And she had said, well, didn't you say you was going to go home? I said, yeah, but I felt a little better. So I'm going to go, so I'm going to go pull shoes. I was going to pull jewelry. I was going ahead in the Chris. That's the crazy one. I was heading designer. And I literally, when I said shoes and jewelry, my chest said like this. And I was like, okay. And she said, let me help you to the train. Because I said,
I'm telling you. That was enough.
I was like, so literally I'm laying in the hospital, you know, and I'm still like, I text Chris. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm in the ER. And so I'm in the ER and I'm emailing Chris like, I'm sorry, I'm in the ER. I'll try to come later. She's like, what? She's like, if you don't take care of yourself.
When you say ER, you're not coming anywhere.
Exactly. She's like, what? So like at the shoot, I was literally laying on the couch, like waiting for the person to show up. And then for them to get there and just like completely just show their ass. Like, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
They were nice, but their team was crazy. And they had a whole lot. It was just a lot of drama. And I was like, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this no more.
Is this around the time that like the meditation?
Yes.
You know, your path to meditation came.
Yeah, right. Because it was like, I was still like spiraling, not knowing. And I started, you know, I was dibbling and dabbling in the, you know, law of attraction, working with that. Mm-hmm. But then I was just like, about 4 years ago, because I had tried the meditation before and I was like, okay, I'm not getting this because it is a journey.
That's how I feel all the time when I try to start.
It's a journey. Like, it's totally a journey. And people, the way a lot of times when people say, oh, I meditated, they make you think like you're just going to go and you're just in this peaceful place. No, it's not like that.
No.
It is a journey. No. Like, you really got to work those kinks out in your mind. So, so like, 4 years ago, I had to start really, really getting into it because I did not understand what was going on. I was at my breaking point. And this is another part that I forgot to mention. Although you're doing all of these things, these fabulous things, you are financially drained.
Yeah.
Financially drained. Either people don't pay you, they don't pay you enough, or...
Wait. Has that happened?
Yes. Yes.
And now, has it happened with bigger, you know, personalities, star personalities that did not pay? Huh?
I plead the fifth. Yes. It'll be the person who lives next door to you who will give you your money on time and pay you your rate.
Stories like that, but I just...
Yeah.
They never grasp.
So, but like, yeah, it's like...
A hairstylist and makeup artist, they would literally be... broke, but your clients are like,
You're broke because, and then especially as a stylist, you have to invest a lot of money into things. That's why it's like when people want you to style them for free, it's like, okay, it's free for you, but it's not free for me because I have to pay rental fees, I have to pay for transportation, I have to pay for this, I have to pay for that. I'm buying things, like I have to pay to be able to make you look a certain way. And I'm not one of those stylists who, just because you pay me $10,000, this person pay me $100 or $200, I'm going to give you different work, different levels. Of like, I'm going to give you.
You're going to give 150%
every time. Right. So like, that's, you know, so that's draining. When you are in these spaces and you just hopped out of a limo and you drinking champagne and you're sitting at a table with millionaires and you and your friend are sitting there like, okay, how much was those fries? Like, can we get this? Like, and that's what you're going through. So that beats down on you. You know, I literally was doing all this work and living on people's couches. Like,
I can't understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm.
So
I just can't understand it because to me, there should be a budget.
Yeah. Oh, that's the first thing people say. I don't have a budget. I don't think you're going to get any clothes, but okay.
Yeah. Also, if I would be embarrassed if I was, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but you
I
know what? You know, but not to like villainize all of them, because there's some people where that, you know, and you believe in their project. You know that they're getting a raw deal and, you know, in a situation either with a label or either with, you know, whatever type of management mm-hmm. or, and they have things going on and you believe in them and you're like, okay, I get it. Like there's people that I'm just like, don't even worry about it. I got you. Because they're just such a good person. And, you know, you understand what's going on. So you just do, you know, projects for them. And it's like, you know, they're just good people. So it's like sometimes it's not even their fault or they're not trying to be, you know, vindictive or just grimy. You know, you do have some of those. But there's sometimes it's, that's not the situation. So, you know, so you're dealing with those things. But, you know, I had to realize that this was a mindset thing.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to understand too. Like the way you make money and what you bring to yourself and the happiness is a mindset. It's a choice. You have to choose to be happy. You have to choose to be positive. And no amount of success or whatever will bring you that happiness until you choose to be happy. And I had to get to the point where I'm facing eviction. It's a universe. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I surrender. Yeah. Like, what is going on? I need some type of answers. And I started getting back into my meditation. And once I started getting back into my meditation and getting back into my flow and writing down and living intentional. Writing down my affirmations and getting intentional on what I wanted. And what I wanted was happiness. What I wanted was peace. When my meditation became, before it was like, oh, I want this. I want to, you know, work with this person. I want to do this. I want to do that. Okay, you're getting it, but you don't have peace of mind and you don't have happiness. So,
and you can't buy.
You can't buy it.
Nothing
you
is
can't.
Your peace of mind.
You cannot buy it. So my daily prayer became peace of mind because I was in here. So it was like, I just want peace of mind. Just want peace of mind. I just want to be able to sleep at night. I just want to be able to, you know, not worry, not wake up in the middle of the night pacing my house, not sitting here thinking like, do I got any sleeping pills in here? What can I do to end this all? Like not having to go into that dark space. Huh? Yeah.
So did you find once you started meditation, does that affect your sleep pattern? You found that actually affected your sleep pattern and your mental space.
It helps you with your sleep because you can relax. It teaches you how to be able to really take control of your senses, your body, and just relax. And when you can relax, then you can sleep. But if you're like,
and if your mind is going like
going
this,
right, because
you're not, even if you're asleep, you're not really getting the
problem. No, you're not. Yeah. So it's like meditation helps you be able to have control over your thoughts. So during quarantine, I went to school to get certification for mindfulness meditation so that I can help other people and help myself and stuff like that. So I went to, I got certified with MBSR, which is mindful based stress reduction. So that helps you to stay present and it helps you to, you know, just observe the thoughts and not grab a hold of them. Because, you know, when you grab a hold of the thoughts, a whole story comes on, a whole dialogue. Now this murder mystery movie is going on in your head because you grabbed a hold of these thoughts.
True,
sabotage. Like,
you know, when you sleep, because subconsciously you're picking up all that stuff.
You
And you having dreams and on the TV.
I always tell people, like, because people, like, I had to, like, once I got fully into my meditation, I realized there's certain things I can't watch. I can't watch suspense movies. I can't watch thrillers. I can't watch horror.
I've never been able to do horror.
I hate horror. Like, my best friend tries to force me to watch horror movies, and, like, I'm so mad. Like, anything that's, like, all that too much is like, it's too much going on, and I start absorbing it, and I start thinking about it, and especially if it's like, it gets
this. Well, you're introducing it to your psyche.
Right.
I didn't notice someone can die if you put this in their ear and do, you know what I mean? Like, now I know. Like, I don't want to know that.
It's so true. And if you're a person who already deals with anxiety, you don't need to watch something that's high stress that's getting your, that's getting you like, okay, what's happening next? Like, you're already an anxious person. Like, I have anxiety. Yeah. So I'm like, why am I going to sit down and say, hey, let me watch this, and get more stressed out? Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So it's like, so I had to really.
Go ahead.
Got me thinking. No, go ahead. No, I was.
I was going to say, okay, so like for me, I'm a serial creative, right? I'm always thinking of new this, new ways and new things to do and so forth, right? I'm always, you know, I always am thinking of a project, right? So what would be the top three meditation, I guess, routine? What would be the top three things that you would tell a beginner with meditation, a creative?
Okay.
That would like help them? Would it be like breathe before, you know what I'm saying? Like the top three.
Definitely always breathe. That, like, I didn't realize until, because, like, this journey, this fashion journey, it took me all the way to Thailand. I had to go to Thailand for a month and just go sit under a tree, like, okay, what the hell? Like, it was driving me crazy. So, when I went to Thailand, I did, I was stayed near a wellness center. And this wellness center had a bunch of different classes. And in one of the classes, it was called Breathworks. And it was a Breathworks meditation class. And I had, at that point, I had never realized how important it is for us to breathe and how we don't breathe. Like, most of our breaths are like, so it's like to really go, like to really breathe, it's so refreshing. Like, you really have to breathe. So when you feel yourself getting overwhelmed, breathe. Just
breathe.
Take a breath. Like, it, like when people
deep
say,
breath in, deep breath out.
Yes, deep breath in, deep breath out. Take a second for yourself. So that is definitely a good meditation. But I feel like for a beginner, especially with a creative mind, a guided meditation may help. But the thing about it, like, you have to find what works for you. But I would say start with a guided meditation. That way it gives you something to focus on. Because just trying to listen to wind and this, that, and the third, if you already have chattery That's mind right. No, you're gonna be thinking about what am I gonna eat later, like, okay, what was that wind, is that in the meditation or is that outside, like you're doing too much, so it's like so
when you say God, if you mean like when the person is saying, okay, now from your core, because you're listening to your next directive, so centering yourself there, right?
Yeah. So that's why God, I always suggest, because that's what started me off with. I started off with guided meditation, and it helped me to be able to focus on the person's voice, so that I can, you know, focus on the person's voice and be aware. Because that's the thing. We have to be aware of ourselves, aware of our presence, aware of our body, aware of, even sometimes it's like if you don't have time to meditate and you're in a situation and you're like, okay, and you might just be in a meeting, just say to yourself, focus on your big toe on your right side. Focus on your big toe. Focus, like, and it'll bring you to a focal point. Yeah. So like you could just focus and then like, okay, I'm aware. And like, it'll bring you back. So it's just like, you have to be aware. You have to bring yourself back to present, because either you're in the future or in the past and you're not in the present. And when you're not in the present, it's not good. Because either you're creating a horrible story for the future or going back to a horrible story of the past. Be present. What's going on right now? Is everything okay? Is there a gun to my head? If it's not, you're good. Even if it is.
Yeah, hello.
Right. Focus, because maybe the universe may say, okay, kick him. And then and then you go. Because you got to listen to the signs.
Yeah.
The universe is always here to help us out. But if you're not present, you can't hear. Like, you have to tap into your inner you, your inner being.
Okay.
Because if you don't tap into your inner being, you're out here lost. And that's what I want people to understand. Like, your power is within you. within. You don't have to go to any outside sources and this, that, and the third. Like, it's all already here. You were created with everything that you need already. Already. There's nothing to go out to get. Like, everything you need, your happiness is in there. Your serenity, your prosperity is in there. The answers are in here.
It's like we're not tapping in ourselves. We're just looking at everything that's going around us, mm-hmm. or what this person, you know, looking at shows or whatever, and you see this millionaire driving down the street, you're like, wow, you know, you're not even focusing on you and the gift that you have and what you could be doing for yourself, because you're just so busy focusing on everything else. Exactly. That is so true. I didn't look at it that way, but that's definitely true.
Yeah, it's the observer's mind. You're observing everything else that's going on. And if you're observing, so busy observing, when can you start working on this?
Put into you. When are you going to put into yourself?
You're not pouring into. And you can't do anything for anybody else until you are full. Like, this is like when people say, oh, don't be selfish. No. You have to be selfish. You need to think about you. In the morning, it's about you. Self-care, I don't care if you got 10 kids running around outside your door. Them kids better stay out there while I get my 5 minutes to get my zen on. Yes. And then y'all can run about and wild out. But they need to meditate too. Lay them down. Sit down. Breathe. Mm-hmm. Everybody, let's get in a circle. Let's breathe. We all need to center. So, like, that's it. Take care of yourself. Get into your center. Like, but guided meditation, I feel like is great once you start getting, but you have to try different ones. Ones work for different people. Guided meditation, I have a friend, he said that wind and oceans work for him. That's great. And he's a creative. So, you know, it's like trial and error.
Music,
like,
or different.
Yeah. Okay. And then it depends on where you at, because like, when I'm at a certain frequency, or I'm in my head too much, I need guided. If I'm good and I'm at peace and I'm like, I've been vibrating high all week.
The water and the birds chirping might just get you.
Yes. Or I can actually go silent and do a silent meditation with no sound, no nothing. And I get right in. But it's about your frequency. Yeah, get right back center. It's like you just have to know where your frequency is. So you just have to know what works for you on certain days. Right. When I'm all over the place, okay, guide it. When I'm feeling anxious, breathe. When I feel like I'm floating on air. And this is what people should know. After a great meditation, you feel invincible. Like, the birds are chirping. The dogs are smiling at you. Like, you feel like you're on, like, you are high. Like, somebody would think you was on drugs because you're like, hi, how are you? Because you feel good. You're at peace. And then what you're putting out, you get back. Because because everybody is just like opening doors for you. It's like a commercial.
Yeah,
like,
if you're in love and light, and that's one of the things, like, this year, you know, that's one of the things I really wanted to focus on. I want to exude love and light. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. If it's negative or anything like that, I can't.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to touch, like, when someone comes and interacts with me, I want them to feel better than what they did before.
Exactly.
That's what I want to be.
That's what we all should be. We all should be, you know, beacons of light to make everybody else feel good. Like, when a person come in your presence, they shouldn't feel stressed, like, dang, I got to deal with her today. They should be excited, like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see her.
I mean, you have to think about it. This is the first time we laid eyes on each other.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, we've spoken.
Right.
And even when we spoke, it was just, we just went right into
exactly.
And I just feel like that's a testament to, like, where you are in life.
Exactly.
When you can have those. And just even saying that, I've realized that we cheat ourselves when we're not in that space, because
you miss out.
If I'm not in that space, I wouldn't be able to get from you what you're giving to me. Right.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? Exactly. And hopefully vice versa.
Yes. No, it's true.
It's like we cheat ourselves not being in that space.
We cheat ourselves of amazing opportunities and just to be able to grow and learn from each other. And it's just like, my big thing, I just don't like when people are unkind. I don't like when people, you know, just have a crappy mood. It's like, okay, sometimes, like, I know we can all get into a mood. I know I can be moody at times, but when I start feeling moody, like now, I check myself, like, okay, what's going on with you?
Get it together.
Yeah, get it together. Go breathe. What are you doing? Like, you know, get it together. And it's like, it's true. Like, you want to, when people are around you, they feel happy. Like, state that they feel good about themselves. And, you know, sometimes, like, a lot of my friends, they come to me, like, when they have certain things they need to talk about. But I'm happy that they feel comfortable
enough to come to me. That's a testament.
Right. And to know that they're in a safe place and I'm going to talk them through it. And like, okay, you know, it's going to be all good. It's going to be okay. You know, but that's the thing, is just like, you know, just getting on that journey of self-love, meditating, manifesting, just manifesting the things. And I'll say this to people, do not go into your meditation or your prayer asking for things, because if you're asking for things, that means your mindset is of lack. You're lacking something.
And what can you really allow to come in if you're already set on, you know, just what you want already?
You're attracting more lack because you're saying, I want more money. I need more money. I want more money. Well, what does more money mean? That means I don't have enough. So that's scarcity. I need this job. I need abundance. I need this. Start asking for peace and start asking for happiness. Once I started asking for peace and happiness and... Once I started asking for peace and happiness, the money flowed in. The opportunities flowed in. I have been in the best financial situation ever doing less, because people need to understand that it's not about the efforts that you put out there. It's about the intentions and the energy that you put out there. Yeah. That my finances went in a great place. That, you know, the place that I was scared to death of losing, I have no issue with. Like, you know, and I was doing less and I was enjoying myself. Quarantine was kind of like the best thing that happened to me, because it was like, okay, you know what? I hadn't had a day off since 2007. That's crazy.
And that's really good to hear. And that really is, just even talking to you, it's really is like a testament of like what I want this space to be about. Yes, you know what I'm saying? It's very new, and but I just want people to be able to come here and
decompress.
Take it all off.
Relax.
You know, share your story. You know what I mean? Just be yourself.
That's why when I seen it, your thing, I said, that is so great. And that's why I had to reach out, like, girl, yes, you go, girl. Like, I love that. This is something that we need. I love a cocktail, and I love to just sit down and just kiki and, you know, talk to other creators. And we need that. It's like, that's why I created my podcast, because it was like my creative support group. Like, it was my support group. Like, okay, what tools do you need to get through? Like, it's okay if you're depressed. It's okay if you have anxiety. It's okay if you sometimes feel like, you know, you don't want to live anymore. It's okay. But here is some tools to get you through it. And here's a safe space. And you can reach out to me and I will help you through it.
And guess what? You are a testament on the other side of it.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. And that's the reason why I said I needed to do it. Because it's like, if I can get through it, then I know you can get through it. And I want other people to, like, so it's just like,
everybody has a story.
I applaud you in this space. Like, I love it. I think it's amazing.
You don't know what it did for me when you reached out. You really don't, because you know how it is when you don't have 50,000 followers or 5,000 people queuing, people just they're like little laying herds now.
Right.
And I did, but this is not the space that I don't, this is my space. This is me. I love creatives.
Right.
And I love connecting with, having this conversation with you. Right. I don't care. You know, I'm so glad Ultimate Perfect is here. He has to
I love him.
Make sure I tap on his page.
That's my friend.
Not for that. It is for the connection for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? It's for sharing the story. Mm-hmm. And even if it helps one person, that is so, that's enough.
And
so,
that's it.
Thank you so much for reaching out. When reached out, it was at a pivotal time.
Wow. The universe always lets us know. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad that I could be that, because it was like, I had seen your stuff and I'm like, oh, that's so cute. But that day I was like, you know what? No, I need to let this girl know. You go, girl.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And my goal is to get there.
Yes.
To upstate.
Yes.
And my goal is definitely do that. Even if we meet in New York and just, have a day or whatever the case may be, and stop by and see Chris.
Exactly.
I would love that.
So
that would
definitely
be a full circle moment for me.
Yes. I wish she was up here, because I just love and adore Chris. Yeah.
So we're going to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if there's anything, one thing that you could share.
Mm-hmm.
About your journey thus far, what would you say to the person that might be in a space where they're doubting themselves and their craft?
Okay. If you're doubting yourself in your craft, this is what I would say. Look at your stuff, and if it makes you happy, that's all that matters. If it makes you smile and you think it's good, then that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what the next person say. It needs to bring you joy. It needs to bring you happiness. And if you're looking at it and you're thinking like, okay, it might not be the best of, it could use some tweaking. Start doing some research. Start looking at other people that you aspire to be on their level. Start looking at their stuff. Even reach out. I've had other stylists reach out to me, and I give information. Like, I'll be like, okay, well, maybe you should do this and you should do that. Keep going. Don't doubt, but also get into something and see if you like it. Does it bring you happiness? If it brings you happiness, then do it. If it doesn't, that's the reason why I step back from fashion the way that I had used to be in it, because it came to a point where it did not bring me joy anymore.
Yeah.
And I had to do it on my own terms, not the way someone felt that I should do it. It needed to be done on my own terms. So,
basically, how can you evolve if you stop? You evolved into this space.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if you stop, you're cutting off what your full circle.
Yes. What your blessings
is. Through the circle, you're not gonna come full circle.
Right. You have to keep going. You gotta keep going. You keep going, and you keep going. Don't doubt yourself. Keep going.
Yeah.
You're gonna find your journey. You're gonna find your path. Because it's all a journey. Yeah. And don't feel bad when you no longer like what you're doing. Because this is what I had to learn also. You are not your title. You are not your title. You are whoever you are. I am Shatanya Ami. I'm not even really Shatanya Ami. That's the name that my mother gave me. I am the human being that came to this universe to live this being life and to bring light and positivity to other people. Your gifts are presents for other people. So don't hold it back and not share with the world, because it's not just for you, it's for other people.
Yeah.
And I had to learn along my journey that, okay, because I was tied to the title of stylist. You're a stylist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a stylist. I'm a stylist, but I'm more than a stylist.
You can do that.
Yes. I can do that.
That's
one of my gifts, but it's more. And then I had to find out what my life's purpose is. And that's the thing, finding out what your life purpose is, because it might be the creative, but there's another aspect of what it is that you're really here for. So just keep the journey going. Don't stop. Don't get, scared and compare yourself. Instagram, although it's great for right now, but it could be the devil, because it's like, you know, you're comparing. Well, this person's doing this and that person's doing that, and this person is getting this and this person is getting that, and I posted this picture and I got no likes and this, that, and that. Like, are you serious? Like, you are not. Yes, do it for you. Your tribe will find you, and you will find your purpose along the journey, along the path. And if it's no longer, like, say you're a designer, and at a point you don't feel like you want to be a designer anymore, it's okay to be something else. That's fine. Because as a human being, we evolve. It's a journey. You evolve to something else. Like, okay, I started off as a stylist, wanted to be a stylist, and now my mission is to coach people through meditation and help them find their life's purpose. And, you know, to find their true meaning of being a real creator, tapping into your power, tapping into with your inner being.
And that's why I'm going to share, you know, I mean, because I feel like that's your platform is, mm-hmm. is definitely necessary as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you didn't send me a couple things in the morning and I've done them and I've gotten that thing. So I'm not going to hold it back from everybody else. I'm going to share that with you know, all my platforms and everyone I know. And I just feel like that's definitely, it's so necessary. It's so necessary. So you are definitely in your divine space with that. Yes. And so I'm glad that I actually connected with you at this time, because that is what I need, you know, too. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, lady.
Thank you. Anything that I can do, anything you need from me, and whatever space I'm in, I am here.
Yay.
And, I look forward to linking up with you, you know, very soon.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Okay. We are definitely there. And everybody who is listening, thank you. I hope y'all got some nuggets for, you know, here.
Yes.
You know, go on YouTube, find you some meditations. If you're a beginner meditator, the people that I love is Esther Hicks, Abraham Hicks. It's the same person.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen, you understand what I'm saying. You know, Esther Hicks. Listen to her YouTubes. Anything that Dr. Wayne Dyer got going on, listen to that. He's the truth. He will teach you how to, you know, change your perspective and how you look at things and change your whole thought pattern. That's was very eye-opening to me. Like, his famous saying for me is, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Had I not learned that prior to COVID, I probably would have jumped off a cliff, because I had to change my perspective. I had to change the way I looked at the situation. You have to find the blessings in any situation, regardless of what it is. Someone could slap you in the face. Find the plus in it. Like, why did they slap me in the face? Was I doing something? You got to change the way you look at it.
I'm glad. Well, Ultimate Perfect says good info and great conversation. And I definitely agree. So,
thank you.
This was perfect for Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes.
And definitely perfect for me. And until next time.
Yes, until next time, lady. Bye. Thank you so much for having me.
You'll be here for me. I know.
I'll be sending you some meditations, girl.
In the direction.
Exactly. You're going to be hearing from me. I already found another book today, and I'm like, okay, I got to send this book out.
Yes.
So,
thank you so much. I truly appreciate you.
Same here, lady. Bye.
All right. Bye. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody.